I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What's up, sucky daters? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. As always, it's your host, Dean Ungler, joined via Zoom with Jared Haben, all the way from...
the East Coast, baby.
Connecticut, am I right or wrong?
Way off, Virginia.
Oh, that's where I was just
trying to slip. Way off.
I was trying to plan a Connecticut, or no, a Vermont trip for the autumn, so maybe that's where I was. All those eastern states blend together.
Yeah, they all blend together. It is crazy to think that California takes up the entire West Coast, and then you think of the East Coast from the size of California, there's got to be, I don't know, 20 states?
That's a good point. I guess there's only four states that border the western-facing states that border the Pacific, and there's probably like 20 on the East Coast that border the Atlantic.
It's crazy, man. You know,
crazy, dude.
That's what we are. We are a geography class podcast. That's what we're turning into right now because, you know, dating's on halt during COVID.
I'm glad we can agree on the scale of crazy that really truly is.
And then mind-blowing.
And then it doesn't stop there though. Then you also have the Gulf states, like Texas, Alabama, Louisiana. Those kind of are in the Atlantic Ocean too. Because the Gulf of Mexico, is it the Atlantic? I don't know. Who knows? Anyways, we got a great episode for you guys this week. We have Matt and Leah. You probably know them more formally by their wrestling names, which...
Well, they're from the WWE. It's Matt Polinsky and Leah Van Dale. And then Leah's on Total Divas. Have you ever watched that show?
Yes. I do not watch that show. I'm not big into the WWE either, but they do seem like a pretty cute couple. I was going to introduce them by their wrestling names, but I think that they, because of their new podcast that they're releasing, want to more affectionately go by Leah and Matt. So we're going to get to them in a little bit. We are going to play a game later on. Tori loves her games, so we're going to jump in one of those later on as well. But in the meantime, Jared...
Oh, no, this is focused on you. This is a big week for you. This is Kaylin's birthday week.
It is. Kaylin's birthday is coming up, and the pressure is on. I feel the pressure, especially because she knocked it out of the park so well with my birthday a couple months ago.
What'd she do again?
What did she do again, you asked?
That is what I asked, yes.
It was a quarantine birthday, so it's like, what can you do? But she made the most of it. She, like, made me breakfast in bed with the whole menu. She got some lunch brought in from my favorite restaurants. She got me all the gifts that I wanted. She set up a little movie theater in our other bedroom for us to watch my favorite movie.
Oh, Interstellar, that's right.
One of the things she did that was the cutest thing ever was the Picnic Collective, which now I'm, like, a huge fan of them, where they make these pre-made picnics. And they, like, drop it off at your place, or they can set it up at the beach for you.
I did that with Ashley in Hawaii. It was our first, like, vacation after we came out as a couple.
It is the cutest thing ever. Everybody, this is the perfect date day idea ever.
It was a great date idea. In addition to that, this is where the one hiccup that she had, she overdid it a little much. She did the Picnic Collective, which was fantastic. They give you fruits and cheeses and crackers and you could just munch. I think there was champagne too, but she also ordered some Domino's pizza, which I love Domino's pizza, but it was just a lot of cheese and a lot of bread. And we were only able to eat so much of it because there was a little too much food, which I'm not complaining. I'm just saying
that's not a hiccup.
The Picnic Collective provides a lot of food. Domino's obviously is a lot of food in itself. So anyways, point is, she knocked it out of the park. So now the pressure is on me to do the same. The challenge here is, well, it's kind of like a pros and cons. So the pro is I got to see exactly how big she went for my birthday. So I can replicate that rather than going in blind and not knowing how big to go. The con here is that our one-year anniversary is a couple days after her birthday. So it's like if your birthday is on December 23rd and your parents got you a joint Christmas and birthday gift, you were upset. So do I get her a joint birthday and anniversary gift, or do I do two distinct different things?
Didn't you just answer your own question?
Listen, yes. From the perspective of the parents, it makes sense to do one gift. But from the perspective of the children receiving the gifts, obviously you're going to want two gifts. And she made a comment about getting me an anniversary present. And I was like, oh, wait, you're going to get me an anniversary present. Why? Like, why would you do that? And she goes, I don't know. I just want to. And so that kind of adds the pressure to separate and do a birthday gift and a anniversary gift. So we're going to see what happens. I've got like some stuff picked out. I know some things that she wants. I've got some funny gifts and some more meaningful gifts and some more practical gifts. But yeah, man, I've never really been the best with birthdays. I'm more into like the spontaneous gift giving.
This is a good conversation topic though, because it's, you guys have been dating for a year now. Like, what is the level of gifts that you give? Like, have you celebrated month to month, or are you guys going for your big bang for a year? Do you do just flowers? Is it more thoughtful? Like, I wonder what the history is that you're supposed to take with anniversary gifts.
I think the one-year anniversary gift is the engagement ring gift, right? I'm right on that, Tori, right?
Is it? Is that what you got Ashley after you guys' 1 year?
No, I waited like 3 months.
That's true, I guess. But that's technically 4 years of relationships. You know, you guys were friends for 4 years or whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
So the first year together, it is something that is paper. Second year is cotton. Third year is leather. Fourth year, fruit, flowers, linen, or silk. And there's this whole thing that goes on. So why don't you just start your tradition now with something that has to do with paper?
Yeah, I guess I could get it like a $100 bill or something like that. Here's $100.
Yeah, just pay
her off. yeah, I think that's kind of more, doesn't that kind of more relate to marriage and stuff? So 1 year of dating. When we first started dating, we would, would be like, hey, it's our 1 month anniversary. Hey, it's our 2 month anniversary. Hey. But then after about like month four, we kind of stopped caring so much. So yeah, the 1 year is kind of bigger. So her grandparents live out in near Las Vegas. So we're going to drive out there for her birthday and spend a couple days out there just like with her family. But other than that, I mean, there's nothing crazy planned. I wanted to, this was my plan before COVID struck, was to, on her birthday, give her plane tickets, preferably to like the Maldives, and then on, and the plane tickets would depart on the anniversary. So, you know, she gets the gift on the birthday, and then we celebrate on the anniversary, and we go to this place that she's wanted to go. Obviously, I can do that again some other time, and I think I'll do it next year. Hopefully she's not listening to this or will not listen to this. But yeah, I don't know. Do you guys think that if you underperform on a birthday or anniversary, it's a red flag or a bad sign or something to argue about? What's your experience with underperforming?
Yeah, you get yelled at if you underperform. I think as long as you put thought into the gift, like a lot of the gifts that I get Ashley, they're not materialistic things. They're letters, or like I give her like coupons. It's like 2 free back massages, or you know, 1 makeout sesh. You know, fun, like stuff like that. You know, that we try to keep it fun and light. That's kind of like my go-to for gifts.
Hey Jared, I'm gonna cash in on my makeout sesh right
that's
now.
That's it. She hasn't cashed in on it yet. It just happens, you know. But I think that's a good thing, though. She hasn't had to.
I hope you brought your chapstick, because I'm about to suck those lips dry.
Interesting.
I know Tori's
suck
just
your lips dry. Haven't heard Dean say that before in his life.
Tori, as a female, what gift would you want?
Well, I would say it stems from, and I know you guys are probably eye roll, but what their love language is. And for me, like, I am someone who appreciates gifts, but not like materialistic in the sense of like, get me diamonds. Although, you know, we all love that. I'm more of like, I appreciate when you know somebody's put attention and thought into it. So as long as that's happening, I think that nobody can really be disappointed. But right. If you're like just showing up being like, well, I just looped it together, and then on our anniversary, you don't really do anything, it's fine. But I would still need you to do like, hey, I picked you flowers. Like, you don't have to spend money on me, but like show a little effort even on our anniversary.
Yeah.
A little effort goes a long way.
So for Christmas this past year, we exchanged gifts, and I feel like Kaylin thought that she, that I outperformed her in the gift giving. And so she went all out and made up for it for my birthday, which then puts me in a position where like, okay, I could either try to do more than she did for my birthday, or like kind of recalibrate and shoot for under the bar. So that way we're not always trying to go all out for each other during birthdays and Christmas and stuff. So I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe this is something that we should just get rid of. We put too much pressure on gifts, you know? Maybe we should, I think that you should talk to your significant other. And what if a couple had a partnership they had, you know, an agreement that said no gift giving unless it's like something like flowers. Because don't you think, like, now you're talking about, am I going to go too much? Am I going to buy her too much?
I don't know. My thing is, my big thing with receiving gifts is like, look, if I want something, I already have it because I'm just going to go out and get it. Like, I don't
wait for you to buy me things.
All right. I don't need to be bought things. I already have everything that I want or need. It's typically going to be like camera equipment. If I need something or want something, I'll just go out and get it. So that kind of puts gift giving or gift receiving in a precarious position too, because it's like, she got me a GoPro, a brand new GoPro this birthday, which is great because I've been meaning to get one anyways. But that was kind of like a one-off. I don't know. So yeah, her birthday's coming up. She's turning 20, I don't know, 20, 27, 25 or something like that. Somewhere in her mid-20s.
you're already starting the birthday week off with a bang, bro. Good job.
Yeah.
Can only go up from here. Do any of you guys, speaking of gifts, obviously you have relationships in the past. What are you supposed to do with gifts once you break up with the person? Like, do you keep it? Do you give it back? Do you, like, let's say it's a nice camera, or let's say it's a signed Tom Brady jersey that you was gifted from an ex. You guys can
think of like, that.
But like, what is somebody that something like that they've given to you where you're like, I really physically can't give it back?
I've kept sentimental gifts from an ex.
But I want to know what the, like, what is the caliber? Like, what was it so that we can decipher, was it right for you to keep or not?
Well, that's what I mean. It was a beautifully well-made booklet where, it was like a kind of like a storybook of our life and, or our relationship at the time. And it's just like, I remember when we broke up and I was like going through stuff as I was moving and I found it and it's like, I can't throw this out. Like, it's a part of my life. It's like a part of who I am. And there was so much thought and effort put into this that I'm supposed to just throw it away as if it was nothing. So I have it. It's stored away, but I have it. That would be my advice. I don't know. Unless, like, they cheat on you or they do you wrong, then, you know, burn everything. But I do keep things. I do.
It's a good way to remember that point in your life, you know? I will say when I was moving out of my house and moving into the van, I've discovered an old shoebox that I had that had the similar things like the keepsakes, the mementos from past relationships, like handwritten birthday cards and like things like that. And I like looked at them, opened them up, laughed a little bit, and then I just chucked the whole box in the trash can.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
No!
So up until last year, I had kept everything I'd received from any like girlfriend or whatever that had written me cards, especially like the more meaningful ones. And then I was just like, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm throwing these away. So I threw them all
away. Okay, but follow up to that. Because if you've had that box for a while, why now did you want to get rid of it?
I think that a lot of us kind of have pack rat tendencies and they want to keep these things, especially like those unique things that can't be recreated, like Jared's book, for instance. But yeah, it's like, why? Like, I don't know. Why would I want to keep a card that was written for me from a girl that I dated when I was 19? What purpose does that serve for me in my life, you know?
Was it a long relationship or was it just a fling?
It was like my serious girlfriend in college.
Oh, okay. Because the gift that I have from this particular person, we dated for almost 4 years. So it was like, you know, you still care for the person as a human and you're like, I can't throw this out. I can't do it. It feels like I'm like stabbing them, you know?
Does Ashley know you still have that booklet, though, Jared?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, I'm going to tell her
now.
But it's somewhere in storage. I don't know where it is, but I know that it's there. And so I don't think I've ever really thought of telling Ashley, but I guess now would I feel guilty if I don't tell her?
Yeah, no, but I get it. It's so thoughtful. It was hard for you to throw that away.
Yeah, when I found it, it was like, I'm not. And I was with Ashley when I saw it, and I was like, I can't throw this away. Like, I'm just going to keep it in storage, keep it in a bin. And it's like, you know, in a storage area. And that's it.
I see where you're coming from, but I'm just going to go full blown devil's advocate and say it's just going to only create the only possibility of you keeping this thing is future friction. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you don't need to relive those memories because you're creating new ones with your wife. You don't need your wife finding an old memory book of you and an ex-girlfriend because that's just going to make her, you know, I'm not saying she's going to be insecure, but like that's only what it's going to kind of breed. So in my opinion, I think you should just toss it. I think any type of those, like by holding on to things like that, like cards and photo albums, it's you holding on to the possibility that you might soon return to that relationship.
I don't think that's it.
I think that it might be. I don't know. I think that by having these things, you're like in the back of your head, you're like, well, what if we get back together? I want to keep this book just in case. You know what I mean?
No, that's not what I was going through my head. What was going through my head was just, it was sad.
I have one last comment that I think is worse than having an ex give a gift that like you kind of have to stare at and like think about all over again. When they dedicate a song to you. Have you ever had somebody be like, this is our song? And now whenever that song comes on the radio, you're like, oh, like, I don't like you still, but it kind of takes you back nostalgic wise. And they can never listen to the song normal again.
So true. I remember when I was in when I was in college, there was that song that was, I think it was by Ludacris. It was My Chick Bad, My Chick Hood, My Chick Do Stuff Your Chick Wish You Could. Horrible song. But it reminded every time, and it was like the most popular song at the time too. So every time I listened, every time I heard someone else playing it, it reminded me of my ex-girlfriend. And I was like, this song is going to be the death of me. But yeah.
With songs, I feel like time heals all wounds. Like, yeah, there were songs that I listened to afterwards after breakups, and I would think about the relationship and I'd get sad or mad. But now I hear the song, and I guess it does transport me back in time, but I just feel differently about it. I don't get sad. I get maybe more nostalgic. I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, that's crazy. That was so long ago.
Yeah.
I think it just takes time. Like, yeah, when you first break up with someone or months afterwards and you hear a song that was your song together, it's going to suck. It's going to suck to hear that damn song. But I promise, time heals all wounds.
Anyways, we got Matt and Leah waiting to jump on the phone with us. So for the record, just to close this conversation, Kaylin's birthday is coming up. If you want to hear how it went, if you're interested in hearing how it goes, tune in next week for that episode when we record, because we can look back on it then. But we do have Matt and Leah, who are wrestlers in the WWE, who just recently moved in together. They just recently made their relationship public as well. They're going to tell us a little bit about what they've been working on and what they've been doing in quarantine and all those things. So stay tuned for that. We're going to take one quick break and be right back.
All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. We have two very special guests who are on the line with us right now. You know them from the WWE, but they have a brand new podcast that is all about relationships. It is called Bear With Us. We have Leah Van Dale and Matt Polinsky. How are you guys? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is great. I appreciate it.
So why did you guys want to do a relationship podcast?
Well,
oh wow.
The genesis of it, this was something we kind of joked about for a long time, but it didn't really come to fruition until quarantine. Our real lives, our you know, professional lives require us to be on the road constantly. So we travel basically 52 weeks a year. So we found ourselves with all of this extra free time and nothing productive to do with it. And just on a whim one night, Leah looked at me and said, we should do a morning show. Just, I think, jokingly.
Yeah.
And so we decided the next morning, we jumped on Instagram Live and started just being ourselves, just chatting about whatever we did or didn't do that day, because like everyone in America, we were bored to tears. And as a few weeks passed, we started getting a lot of feedback from not only online, from social media, but from actual friends, people we work with that were watching this stuff. And people were asking questions and saying, hey, why don't you talk about this thing? And it just sort of snowballed. And next thing you know, we're here.
I mean, if I can speak for Jared here, I got to say that dating podcasts, they're fun to produce, but sometimes they can create a little friction when you don't want it to be there. For instance, like obviously we're not hosting with our significant other like you guys are, but there are times where my girlfriend will like bring something up that I talked about on a podcast. And I'm like, I was just joking. I don't know. You should, like, don't take me seriously, especially like the direct quotes that get pulled. But I don't know. Jared, what's your experience with it?
I mean, there's a podcast on iHeart. It's called Wind Down. It's hosted by Jenna Kramer and her husband, Mike. And Ashley and I did that one time. And it was like therapy. It was truly like therapy for Ashley and I. Is that what you guys were kind of anticipating? Because I know you just started, your first episode is out, but you'll be dropping new episodes every Thursday. Do you find that it might be therapeutic for you?
I think it totally is. I mean, there's certain things that we're talking about that we don't actually talk about, like, without the microphone. So, like, for example, an episode that's dropping next week is all about, like, bodily functions, for example. And, like, he hates, like, anything to do with, like, the bathroom or farting or, like, anything like that. And so, like, we never talk about it. And then now we had this whole episode. We had, like, 45 minutes. We're just chatting about all these things we've literally never spoken to each other about. So that was, like, definitely – I mean, for me, it was fun. For him, it was uncomfortable, but it was hilarious.
Dude, Matt, I hear you. I still – when I have to go to the bathroom, I still tell my wife – I'm like, oh, I'm just going to use the restroom. I'm not that guy who can be like, oh, I'm going to take a dump.
I know it all happens. We all do it. But yeah, you keep that information to yourself. I tell her I want to know everything about her except that little category.
Oh, yeah. I still do the shower trick. I'm married. I've been married for 8 months, and I still will go in the bathroom, be like, oh, I'm going to take a shower, put the shower on, and then, you know, do my thing.
Yeah, we had to get really creative. Because when we first started hanging out, dating, we were on the road all the time. So we'd go out to eat or go out to dinner and then usually go back to a hotel room.
And you're like in this close space. And it's like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm going to go to the gym. He's like, it's 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, I know. I need to get some cardio.
That's pretty smart. It's better than it wasting all the water like Jared too, you know?
Yeah, right. It has been kind of fun though, even in the few that we've recorded. It's like being behind a microphone gives you that sort of almost a safety net to be a little more open that we found with each other. And it's, we haven't had any like knockdown, drag out arguments.
Well, it's only been like 3 weeks. So,
right.
We'll
so
see.
There definitely will be. We could feel the tension rising.
Yeah, well, I love it. I think it's a great idea. It's nice to be a little kind of aired out. And it's almost like, like Jared said, like couples therapy where, even if you're not talking with a third person, the microphone itself is acting as like an impartial bystander to the conversation. Definitely. And you got to like talk 100%. Everything through. Yeah. That kind of inspires me to get Kaylin on the podcast and see if we can chat with her at some point too. But I don't know. For my relationship, we're very open about, well, it took a while, but I'm like, hey, I'm going to go poop. I'll see you in 20 minutes or something like that. You know what I mean? And she, it took her some time to warm up to it, but she's starting to like embrace the idea of it as well versus the whole having to be like, hey, I'm going to go away for 10 minutes. I'll see you in a little bit.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, we all do it. So it's like, whatever.
Yeah. You can't hate on it if every single one of us does it. So what is it like for you guys to be in a relationship that is in the public eye? You know, that's a question that Dean and I get a lot. Like, what's it like being married or dating someone and everybody is just watching your Instagram or knowing what your life is about? And so what do you guys think it's beneficial?
Especially for you guys, sorry to interject.
They know what it's about.
You not only are in the public eye together, but you also in a way work together. So does that kind of add a different perspective to it as well?
We work together, we live together, we're in the same, you know, business. And I feel like, especially nowadays with social media, everyone thinks they know everything about your relationship because, you know, we put stuff out there on social media, but you don't put everything out there. And I think everyone just thinks, like, everyone has their own opinion. And I mean, the way we kind of debuted our relationship was not how we wanted to. I don't even know how to like get into it, but like, he's divorced, so his ex decided to put our relationship out there for the world before we wanted to.
Oh, wow.
And so we had to deal with that.
It's been an uphill battle from the jump.
I heard about that. I heard that it was kind of like, was it on the cover of the New York Post or something like that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an intense way to start a relationship.
My grandmother.
Yeah. So the entire world thinks, that we exist under this false pretense. So it took a little while to let that die down, and slowly but surely everything kind of came out, like the truth of the entire situation. And so once that's happened, it's been smooth. However, as that was all happening, she was filming a reality show for E! So all of those like crazy moments of us trying to cope with it and deal with this and do damage control was like in front of cameras.
So, and also we just started dating. So it was like all of these things were working against us. We're like, what the hell? Like, how do we even like navigate these waters right now?
But let me ask you, do you think it made you guys stronger in the long run to have to deal with that?
No doubt about it.
In the beginning?
No doubt about it.
100%.
And we kind of look at it like, how much worse can it possibly get?
Right.
Yeah, we kind of went through everything so early on that like everything else to us, like, oh, who cares, you know?
Right, right. I think that's kind of good advice too that you guys can share with us on the podcast that you're hosting, Bear With Us, and then this one too, where it's like those moments of, I guess, adversity really, because Kaylin and I had a similar experience too, where there was a lot of issues, I guess, in the early stages. But now that we, you know, we're what, 12 months removed essentially from them, we look back on them and laugh and realize that, yeah, like you said, that things aren't really going to get much worse from there. So I definitely think there can be some growing from it.
There's that old statement, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. Like, we both got the worst of each other right out of the gate. So now it's like, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I'm glad we hung around for all this.
Yeah, we stuck it out.
And so, Matt, you mentioned the reality show, obviously, on E! Total Divas, a huge show. So how do you guys, because a lot of our listeners say it's very difficult to navigate relationship, work, friends. It's, you know, it's just a lot. So you guys are obviously working for the WWE. You're on Total Divas. You have a podcast. You're always traveling. You're doing all these things. How do you guys navigate it?
Gosh, sometimes I think, like, how do we make it through this? Like, I look back, even when we first started filming, we're dealing with all that stuff with the New York Post and all the backlash, like literally getting death threats all the time. You know, he has three kids. We're dealing with a long distance relationship. He was living in Connecticut. I was living in Florida. We're on the road 52 weeks a year, 4 or 5 days a week. It's like, sometimes my mind is blown thinking about the things, but you just like keep going, especially, I don't know. I feel like what we have is so special and so real that I think it makes it somewhat easy, even though it's so difficult.
Yeah. I think the difficulties sort of lend themselves to now not, we don't waste time and argue over minutia. You don't get lost in the usual day-to-day stuff that everybody goes through. Cause it's like, we have 30,000 other things to worry about. So when we're together, the time is usually pretty high quality. Then came quarantine and we were like, oh, this is the real test. Never mind all the stuff we've been through. Can we exist 24 hours a day with each other with no other options? I can't go to the bar. She can't go to the mall. There's like nothing but us. And we made it. So I guess that's a testament.
Tell us how you guys have been getting through quarantine. What have you guys been doing to stay busy and stay, I guess, not at each other's throats? Because that's a big thing with couples especially, you know?
Yeah, well, we went from not seeing each other very often at all. Like I said, we're doing a long distance relationship. We just moved in together the end of December. So it was like very new and exciting. And I was like, ooh, like this is so fun to like live together. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, like I'm going to go upstairs, leave me alone, give me like an hour so I can like decompress. I've seen enough of your face right now.
Yeah, it was... there was no real trick, I would say. Like, we just kind of did it. I both of us, for the most part, have still had to go to work.
Yeah.
Not quite as frequently, but like every other week. So we've still had to travel a little bit. That's been a real pain, is traveling during all these times. But
I think the thing that I will say that I love the most about quarantine is the fact that we can exist as like this old married couple and just be so happy together. We wake up, we have coffee together, we go on bike rides, we make dinner together, we're watch our shows, and we watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune every night, and then
great
we're in
choices.
Bed by like 8:30. Yeah. You know, and it's like this new routine that we just kind of have together that I think I'll miss once quarantine is completely over.
We basically just fast forwarded to the golden years of marriage.
Yeah.
All the in between stuff we just skipped.
You're retired, you're
exactly, that's what it feels like.
It's true though. I was, once I got past the accepting stage of everything that was happening, it was, I mean, knock on wood, everybody stayed healthy. It was really nice because you got to stay home and spend quality time. And like this amount of quality time with your significant other one, your significant other, your family, like, I don't know if that's ever going to happen again.
Right.
I agree. And I think it kind of allowed everybody to put things in perspective. As far as what's valuable to you in your life. When you don't have these options, these things to stress about or places to go, you kind of just simplify everything. And it was sort of refreshing, to be honest.
Yeah.
What's been your guys' biggest like point of contention? So for Kaylin and me, the thing that I guess we argue, quote unquote, the most about is I play too much Call of Duty. You know, I play a couple hours of Call of Duty a day. She hates that. Do you guys have like a thing that you kind of get at each other, like pester each other about?
I would say that like he doesn't do the dishes, and that drives me nuts. I hate when the sink is full. And so every night I'm like, don't mind me. I'm just over here emptying the dishwasher again.
She'll wait till I'm watching a show that I'm really into.
Oh, and please, then you're flowing
playing in plates. And
yeah, right.
Like, you need some help over there. No, I got it.
That's very, very similar to how it is over here too. Like I said, I play Call of Duty, so I'll like start a new game of Call of Duty, and she'd be like, "Hey, can you help me take out the trash or do some dishes?" And I'm like, "Well, I definitely can help you, but it's not the right time for me to come and help you right now."
You have to do it on your own schedule. Yeah. I can relate to that.
Yeah.
They'll get done when I, you know, have nothing else to do.
Exactly.
I did want to ask a couple questions before you guys. We don't want to take up too much of your time, but Matt, you brought up the fact that you had been married once before and you're divorced and you have three kids. And so I guess for the listeners out there who are going through similar situations, who are divorced and getting back into the dating field, do you have any advice? Maybe how long it took you to kind of deal with that part of your life and feel confident enough to move on?
Well, I mean, it's definitely been the hardest thing I've ever dealt with in my life. Cause I mean, you go from living a certain way and turning your entire life upside down and relationships and, you know, having to figure out, make time now for my kids on certain, you know, there's a million different variables in it. I would just say, hang on, it gets better. I was lucky enough that, you know, the divorce was still, we're still in the process of the divorce, living separately, but you know, as anyone who's been through divorce realizes, that stuff doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. Took me almost a year and a half to get everything finalized. And then, of course, all the stuff we talked about with her out of the gate. And I was able to find a partner who was willing to accept all of my headaches and all the nonsense I brought to the table, because there was plenty of it. I'm sure she could speak to it a lot better than I can. But just hang on, man. And it wasn't like I was scared to death to just date again, because just the world's so different. I got married like 11 years ago, I think. The whole world and the dating scene, I've never used a dating app. I don't know that whole world at all. So I was like, sort of intimidated. And luckily I didn't have to use any of that because I got to see her at work and just kind of did it the old fashioned way.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. Kind of like you said earlier, the genesis of your guys' relationship. Are you just through working together, got to know each other a little bit more and decided to kind of start dating, or how did it work?
Yeah, I mean, we've known each other for years, but again, like obviously he was married, I was in a relationship, and I was recently single. Like I broke up with my ex a couple years ago, and I was just kind of like doing my own thing, and like we just, I don't know, we just started chatting and
just clicked, you know. It was like it was almost by accident.
It
always works out that way, doesn't it?
You know what? I'm gonna ask her out.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, the show's over. I'm not doing anything. Let's go grab a drink. And it just kind of slowly snowballed into
just two beautiful people getting a drink together, and it's turned into this beautiful relationship.
As far as anyone outside knows.
Yeah.
I do have one question before you guys go, because I have to ask this, because you guys are both a part of the WWE. What is The Rock and Vince McMahon like in real life?
I've actually never met The Rock before.
Really?
I've never met him. McMahon's a whole different story.
I'll take The Rock part of the question.
Okay.
The Rock to me is like seeing Santa Claus in real life.
Oh God.
Oh yeah.
He is he's enormous.
Yeah.
He's huge. He's got muscles on top of muscles. His teeth are white as snow. He looks like he is in the movies. There's no like disconnect. I didn't know him in the days when he was wrestling. I've met him since he comes back from time to time. And it's like watching a superhero walk in the room. And I've only spoken to him briefly. He's always been very, very friendly, made time for anyone that wanted it. But there's something about that guy when I first met him that I went, I get it. I understand why he's like the biggest star in the world right now.
Yeah.
Because there's just something about him.
I'm actually, coincidentally, wearing my Rock t-shirt.
There you go, your Under Armour.
Love it.
Total coincidence, guys. I did not plan this, I promise you.
But as far as Mr. McMahon goes, he's just like, it's so funny because you look at him and he just looks like he's like this businessman and he has his shit together. He's just like businessman. But when you sit and talk to him, he's just like the nicest guy ever. And he's like so approachable. And I've had so many conversations, and I know you have too, with him. He just like, where you can talk to him is almost like your grandfather or something, you know. He's just like very wise and tells you like it is. And I don't know, it's just like, when you take the time to talk to him, he's really
cool. Extremely intimidating.
Yes.
But once you get past that facade and he gets to know you a little bit and trust you, he's one of the best guys to know.
I mean, I've been a wrestling fan for quite some time, and he is just a fascinating human being.
He absolutely is. And as close to any of us, as close to him as any of us ever really get, there's still like that little bit of extra, this mystery of what happens. He's got a mystique about him, you know, even at 74 years old. Something about him is just like, he's truly larger than life.
Holy He's already 74. Oh my God, I'm old.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, right.
Oh God,
and he's in better shape than anyone.
That's right.
I know. Oh, he would kick everybody's ass. Well, Leah and Matt, thank you so much for joining us. We can't tell you how much we appreciate it. We can't tell you how excited we are for your brand new podcast. Bear with us. The first episode is already out, so you can go to wherever you get your podcast. Go listen to it now. You're going to have a new episode up every single Thursday. So can you guys just give us a little tease of what some of the listeners can expect?
Man, it's kind of like we want our listeners to listen with their significant other. So it's like if you have an issue or something that you might be having with your partner, you can listen to our podcast. Hopefully it'll break the ice. And just kind of like we just go through the same stuff that every other couple does, but we just want to normalize it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to solve anybody's problems, but we might help start the conversation.
Yeah.
The genesis of this whole idea came from she and I having a meeting with an entertainment executive several months back, and right out of the gate, he asked, what are the three most important things to the two of you about your relationship? And I said, honesty. She said, communication. And there was about a 3-second pause, and we both simultaneously said, sex. So we were like, okay, we're on the same page. Right. Everyone deals with those three things. If we can help, awesome. If we can make you laugh, even better. And just don't blame us when things go wrong.
Yeah.
We will not be held responsible.
That's awesome, guys.
Love it.
Well, thank you again so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Leah and Matt, again, check out their brand new podcast, Bear With Us. You can get it anywhere podcasts are available. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Welcome back to Help I Shuck at Dating with Jared, Dean, and Tori. I don't know why I'm talking like that. Matt and Leah were cool, huh? They were super nice. I like them a lot.
Super nice. Nicest people I've ever met.
Well, yeah, I guess via Skype they might be the nicest people we ever met. But make sure, you check out their brand new podcast, Bear With Us. First episode is already out. But we're going to transition to another fun game that Tori has set up for us. Isn't it funny that there are two guys and one girl on this podcast, and just like some sort of study group in college, it's the girl that's doing all the work. I know that's stereotyping, but like it's, I feel so bad. Poor Tori. Thank you for putting this together for us.
Hey, listen. No.
Not poor Tori, because last time we played this game, there was articles being written about me about how I had a crush on Andy Dorfman. So
great publicity. Loved it.
Listen, I'm not opposed to the publicity, but it just is a kind of frustrating thing to see sometimes.
Did that go? Was Caitlin okay with that?
I mean, I told her exactly what happened on the podcast right after we were done airing it. And so if she saw anything about it, it was already known information. So,
well, that's good. That's the most important thing. Well, let's see if we can get somebody else that you had a crush on, you know, get back on Us Weekly.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's jump into it.
This is our third and final teen party game, commonly known as 10 Fingers or Never Have I Ever. So I'm going to ask questions and you have to answer yes or no. Never have I ever skinny dipped.
Have I? I don't think so. I don't think I have.
I've skinny dipped, yes. I'm going to lose this game so fast. I'm going to lose this game literally in 10 questions.
Wait,
this
should
is so
we think about a bet placed for who puts their 10 fingers down faster?
I lied.
I literally just said I'm going to put down 10 fingers in 10 questions.
That's true. But I have been. Yeah, I've skinny dipped.
All right. So Jared and Dean
This includes
are both
significant
down.
Others, right? Like you can skinny dip. Yeah, okay, great.
You can also just do it by yourself if you're out camping in the middle of nowhere and you're like, this looks freeing.
All right.
Never have I ever cheated.
Like I said, 10 for 10. Here we go. Let's
go. Dean is down. Jared is not down. Never have I ever gotten arrested.
I mean, like, are we just tailoring questions to make me put fingers down at this point?
Dean is down. Jared is our angel at 9 fingers.
I'm dominating.
Never have I ever had a one-night stand.
Like, I mean, come on. Yeah, Jared.
Both members down.
I love
on that
it.
One.
Come on.
Woo! I thought you were gonna keep one up on that one.
Never have I ever gotten a tattoo.
I got to keep my finger up on that one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm down to 5 fingers already.
Oh, God. 5 fingers down. Jared is at 8. Never have I ever had a body piercing, not including ear piercing.
I have not done that, surprisingly.
No,
I weirdly feel like Dean would have a nipple piercing. Am I the only one who feels like that's a thing?
I mean, listen, I've thought about it a lot. I would do it. I think I've tried getting my tongue pierced before when I was drunk, but I don't think I was able to find a piercer that was willing to do it.
I feel like Dean could have a Prince Albert.
A Prince Albert? That sounds pretty sweet.
I feel like you'd be open to it if you were drunk.
Wait, what is that?
Tori, you know what it is.
Is that on your little wee-wee?
It's on Dean Jr., yeah.
First of all, that was the most awkward way of describing a penis.
His little
Your
wee-wee.
Little wee
That should be the next... How do you... What is the... We'll get into this maybe after. What are the correct terms to use? There's a lot of ways to explain the men genitalia.
I wouldn't baby talk it. Let's start with that one.
Yeah, your little wee-wee has a little piercing on it?
Yeah.
All right, next question. Jared is currently at 8. Dean is standing at 5. Never have I ever had a threesome.
Yeah,
Dean is at 4. Jared is 8.
You've had a threesome? That's awesome.
Yes, I was in college, okay? I was experimenting.
Were you sober or intoxicated?
I was so drunk. So drunk.
Does that even count?
Was it overrated?
Yes. I don't want to dwell on this topic for too long. Let's move on to the next question.
Never have I ever used a sex toy, not including vibrators.
I've never done that so far.
No.
Still.
I'm not saying on myself. Well, that's...
No. You can use one on yourself, but also saying no vibrators, like using that on another person. It has to be something different.
Look, yeah. I've mentioned that I've been pretty vocal about this in the past. I'm a vanilla person when it comes to the whole sex thing.
When you're that good in bed, you don't need anything else. That's what Dean's saying.
Apparently.
I mean, I didn't say it, but if Tori wants to go ahead and claim that for me, I'll take it.
Never have I ever hooked up with someone from a dating app.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Jared is at 6. Dean is at 3. Never have I ever had sex in public.
I mean, come on. Yeah, Jared.
Was it a bathroom? Can I just know like the vicinity of it? Because that just seems
Jared,
risky.
Tell us about your public sex experience.
Well, concert? The first one that came to mind that I put my finger down, it was, I don't know how public, I don't know if this counts. It was at, it was possibly at somebody else's house in a basement with people upstairs. Does that count?
No.
I would say no.
No.
So hold on. Let me think.
Little angel baby, put your finger back up. That doesn't count.
Angel baby.
Dean.
Your little wee-wee hasn't been out in public before.
Oh, I'll put my finger up for right now. I can't think of anything.
Dean,
if you think
about
it, you can drop it in it. I mean, yeah, I've done it in like a park up in the mountains.
Hold on, we're counting parks?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's in public.
Park is very public.
Beaches, like
yes.
Beaches count.
All right.
Are you guys Mile High members?
Actually, no, I'm not.
No.
Interesting. With how much you guys fly,
it doesn't sound that appealing.
Yeah, it just is. The logistics of it seem challenging. Like you're one supposed to go to the bathroom, and then 5 minutes later, the next one's supposed to come in. Do you leave together? Maybe if you like fly first class on Qatar, where you have like your own little apartment room, probably worth it. But yeah, up till now, no.
So let's hold up our fingers. Dean, you are at 2. Jared is at 5. Never have I ever hooked up with a quote unquote fan. Also known as Instagram follower, also known as just fan of The Bachelor.
This is a gray area.
Dean just put one down. Jared just put his other one down. We are
Hold on. Come on, though. It's like it.
Well, it's just a hookup, so it could be underneath whatever you mean under that term too. But how did this come about? Because did somebody slide in your DMs? I partially want to know. If I know somebody who's kind of like a cool kid, how do I get your attention?
I mean, when I was single, sometimes I would check the DMs, and if I thought a girl was pretty, I would sometimes respond to them. Yeah. I don't know exactly what it was that would catch my eye initially, but I'm not saying I'm not a superhuman. Okay. I'm not immune to those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't find anything wrong with it. Yeah.
So Jared was yours DMs that, as well.
Yeah. But you know,
no, what does that mean? What does that mean?
We don't know.
I mean, we just talked about it. Dean articulated it perfectly. You know, sometimes you just, you know, you have a conversation online. Sometimes it leads to things, sometimes it doesn't.
I think that this is very similar to the question of have I hooked up with someone from a dating app? Because as we've talked about to nausea on this podcast, is Instagram is in and of itself a kind of a dating app, you know?
I completely agree with Dean. Very similar experience, dating app and social media.
Before we ask these next couple questions, Tori, may I interject?
No.
Oh, okay. Put your finger down.
I know you're going to say.
Put your finger down if you have been to a Patriots game in New England at home.
No.
Put your finger down if you have eaten Dunkin' Donuts more than twice in your lifetime.
I've eaten it.
You've
twice
never
today.
Had Dunkin' Donuts twice, Dean?
No. Put your finger down. I'm just trying to even it out a little bit. Put your finger down.
Even.
Yes,
all
right, but I'm trying
now
it's to
my
even
turn.
It.
No, my
okay,
turn.
Fine.
Never have I ever been kicked out of a bar.
I've been kicked out of bars. Plenty of bars.
What if your friend got kicked out and you left with them?
No. Jared. He's such a little angel.
I don't think I've personally ever been kicked out.
I was such a shithead in college. I got kicked out of a bar like every weekend, I feel like. And at the time, I didn't think I deserved it either. I was a mess. I was a whole nother person when I was 19 years old. So I got kicked out of many, many bars.
Okay, one more just for fun. Never have I ever given a fake phone number out.
I've definitely done that too. But yeah, I'm not very good at that. So what I would start doing to people is if I was out at the bar, and they asked for my phone number or something, and I didn't want to give it to them, I would just be like, hey, just find me on Instagram and send me a message on Instagram. Because that way it's like, you know, it goes to a separate folder. You can only approve it if you want to approve it. So that's what I would do.
That's a good tip, actually. I like that.
That is a good tip.
Yeah. I mean, there were times when people would like get angry at me for doing that because they thought that it was dishonest. Because obviously they knew that I wasn't going to respond. But whatever. It is what it is.
I mean, it's better than you. It'd be better than rejecting them in their face in that moment. Be like, nah, don't reach out. Don't even try.
I would love to pick your guys' brain on a question to follow up on this, but I just want to conclude on the scoring. Dean is completely out of the game. He's actually -1 with the fake number.
Yep.
Jared is left with technically 4, but because of Dean's questions, he's at 1 because of the Patriots game and whatever. So still, he's
I enjoyed
at 4.
Those questions though. So do we have time to answer some emails?
We do, but I have one follow-up question for the ladies out there on what you guys were just saying. You said that it's a good technique to ask for Instagram instead of a number, or if somebody asks for your number, you give them their Instagram handle and you said DM them. Here's an experience I had on a dating app. I was using my friends, and remember how I told you guys that I was setting her up on dates? A lot of the men go from the dating app to Instagram DMing. Why don't guys just say, hey, like, do you guys understand the thought process? Why wouldn't they go from the dating app, which is pretty much Instagram, to a phone number versus doing dating app to Instagram to maybe eventually a phone number ask?
I have no idea. That sounds really weird to me. You would upgrade from a dating app to Instagram instead of a dating app to a phone number?
Yeah, they'd be like, hey, what's your Instagram handle? And then like DM you. So you're like
maybe,
using your Instagram more than the app.
Yeah, maybe they just wanted to see more pictures. And then so they just started DMing you on Instagram instead.
That makes sense, I guess.
I mean, that's my only logical conclusion to that one, because it would make no sense.
Yeah, I think that's like the next sequential step in dating apps is you talk on the dating app instead of going straight to getting the phone number. Yeah, bridge it with getting social media and talking on there. I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Of course you do.
Let's do an email. Do you want to read it?
Yeah, I would love to read it. I've been practicing my reading, so no better time to showcase it than right now. We have an email from a young woman named Maybelline. She says,
maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe she was born with it. She says, I'm 28 and I've been single for a while. Recently, I started talking to this guy on Bumble and we seemed to connect and bonded over our dogs. We scheduled a date, but the following day, after asking for my IG handle, funny enough, he deleted me from the Bumble chat and also blocked me on Instagram. I honestly don't know what I did wrong or why he would even go through the length of blocking me. Simply saying I don't want to meet should have been fine. The guy is 36 and he should be mature enough. What happened? I feel like we've answered this one before. If not, we've answered a very similar one before.
Probably happens a lot.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I mean, did he just start dating someone and he didn't know how to tell her that? Or was he, like, maybe he rekindled things with his ex. And so he just, like, blocked everybody he was talking to on these dating apps.
Yeah, that's but in where a my day, head went to.
In a day, though? I don't know. That's a little sus. I just think this guy kind of sucks.
He definitely sucks.
Maybe he's hooked up with, like, one of her friends and then figured out they have, like, some weird connection and then was like, oh, crap.
I mean, he figured out something. He was either dating someone, got back together with his ex, or, yeah, like Tori said, like somehow put the dots together to figure out he knew who Maybelline was, and maybe Maybelline knows who he was. And so instead of confronting that, he just blocked her.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what, he should be mature enough to say, hey, I'm actually, you know, going off this app, I guess. But actually, he doesn't really owe her anything if you think about it, because they've only really been like, hey, talking for a bit, and then they scheduled a date. They didn't even go on the date. So he can technically leave and not have it be a big deal.
That's true. I don't know. I just still think it's a shitty thing to do. It's like, where's the courtesy nowadays? You know what I mean? This stuff wouldn't fly back in the roaring 20s. What was it? So why are we letting it fly now? I just think that she should. I mean, it sucks because it's like, obviously she's upset about it. But at the same time, it's like, you just shouldn't really lose any sleep over it because, you know, who cares?
It's only one guy. Totally. Maybelline, there's tons of guys on dating apps. And plus, it, from the sound of it, you guys had not met yet. So don't lose sleep over it, like Dean said. You'll be fine.
True. It's better than going to the dog park, meeting, having a great conversation, getting the dogs all introduced to each other, and then having it happen. So might as well just get it over with early.
And the guy's 36, too. Yeah, you would think that he would have been more mature. Weird. Anyway, so this email is from Madison. She writes, as a longtime listener of the podcast, I have heard Dean changing in the way he views and acts in relationships. He claims to have a problem saying, I love you, in other words of affirmation. So do I. But says it all the time to friends. Why is it harder to say to someone you are in a relationship with that you love them? Also, he said, referring to Dean, I love you to Leslie on the World Tell All after only dating for a few months. But after dating Kaylin for about the same amount of time, he said on Nick's podcast that he did not love her. It seems like the only person Dean has trouble saying that he loves is to Kaylin. Is this a red flag? If you have not fallen in love in a certain amount of time, should you end the relationship? Dean, I'm sorry. I didn't read the email beforehand. So maybe that's why you want to end the podcast.
No, this is a great conversation topic.
Yeah, I didn't know it was pertaining to you. Yeah, so it's all you, Dean.
Do you think it's a red flag? What do you think?
I don't think it's a red flag. I don't think I've noticed this. Do you think this is a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's really any fallacies present in the statement or the email, so I can't say that it's wrong.
I'd actually think it's an opposite of a red flag. Because it seems like you're able to say I love you to people maybe you're not as in love with as you... I don't know. Maybe not.
No, I see where you're coming from. That makes sense. I think there's just some validity to that you were getting to. I don't know.
Maybe you were scared. Maybe you were scared of your feelings towards Kaylin and you were afraid to admit it because you loved her so much and it was scaring the shit out of you. That's what I'd like to think.
Just beautiful. Truly, truly beautiful. Yeah, I don't know. I think I've just got a complicated relationship with that word. I think I associate that word with like toxicity and unpleasantness just through my childhood relationships in high school, college, and thereafter. And so I just think I've got like kind of a negative association with it. And so it, you know, I can say it to my friends pretty easily because I do love them. But I think when it comes to my partner, it's a little bit more challenging just because of the experiences that I've had with it. And yeah, let's talk about the Leslie thing for a minute. Yeah, I said it to her at the World Tell All a few days after she had told it to me for the first time. And I think in that case, not to like reopen old wounds or anything like that, but I think I was saying it to maybe try to convince myself that that's how I felt. And I thought that by saying it, I would be able to get myself there emotionally. But in reality, it should be the other way around. Obviously, you should emotionally be there and then you should express it verbally. And that was, in my opinion, that's how I think that whole situation unfolded. This current one's a little bit different. I'm just being a little bit more conscientious of the verbiage that I'm using and being confident in the way that I feel before I do anything like that. So I think just as I'm getting older, I'm not being as, what's the word that I'm looking for? I'm not being as, what's the word where you just act?
Impulsive?
I'm not being as impulsive as I get older. I'm being less and less impulsive, or at least trying to consciously be less and less impulsive.
I think that's a great thing. You think before you say things. That's a good quality to have. Yeah, I agree with the email as well. It's for some reason difficult to tell the people that you care most about that you love them. I don't know. Sometimes I find that is. I also think it depends on the relationship. As I've gotten older, like with my parents, for some reason I have a difficult, like not a difficult time, but like an awkward time telling them that I love them. And I think that's just kind of like the relationship that I have with them. It's not. It's a wonderful relationship, and I love them more than anything. And I'm beyond lucky, but it was just, I think like coming from a family, a dad who's like a little bit more reserved, kind of old school. I think for a while it kind of took me time to be like, I love you. You know,
I felt
like Will Ferrell and Elf, you know, like, I love you. I love you. I love you.
There's a lot of truth to that though. Even, so when I got my skydiving license beginning of last year, whenever I got it, I don't remember. The day before I started jumping solo, I sent like this big long email to my brothers, and I was like basically like just bearing my soul, like this is how I felt when I was a child and how you did all these things when I was growing up, and I want you to know that I love you more than anything, and blah blah blah. Sent it to them via email at like midnight the day before, and it's been a year and a half, maybe 2 years since I sent that email. Haven't discussed it with them at all since, I made it clear how I feel about them and how I appreciate them and respect them and all these things, and we haven't even addressed it as have ever happening. So I think that's just kind of how guys are sometimes, you know. It's like we can have our moments where we want to share our feelings, and then we just don't really ever really talk about it again.
Yeah, that's it. We forget it ever happened. It's like, all right, cool, thanks. Anyway, let's move on to the next thing. Let's talk sports.
Yeah, so I don't know. Guys are weird. Anyways, thank you to our emailers, Maybelline, and big thank you to Madison as well for asking that question. I hope that helped clear some things up for you. I still am uncertain with a lot of things myself. But, of course, big thank you to Matt and Leah for calling in and sharing a little bit more about their relationship. If you want to hear more, be sure to check out their brand new podcast called Bear With Us. You can find it wherever you're listening to this podcast. I'm sure you can just search over it and find it there as well. Big thank you to Kaylin for celebrating her birthday with me this year.
That's a good one.
hopefully she appreciates her gifts that I got her. What else, Jared? What else do you want to be thankful for?
Shout out to Ashley, you know, for being my wife. That's always a cool thing. And so shout out to Tori for being the backbone of this podcast. And shout out to all the listeners, because without you guys, there would be no podcast. And we love doing this, and so we appreciate every single one of you guys. So thank you. Keep sending in emails. Keep following us. Keep DMing us. We love to keep the conversation going.
Heck yeah. Love you all. Big thank you to everyone. Be sure to tune in next week, where maybe we will suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.